Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Big East Men's Basketball Coaches Media Teleconference. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to your host, John Paquette. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Thanks, everyone, for joining us again in our men's basketball teleconference. We'll have each coach on for approximately 8 minutes. After an opening statement, you'll be able to ask questions by hitting star one on your telephone, and then the operator will introduce you. Star one on your telephone, and then the operator will introduce you. First up, as usual, we have Coach Greg McDermott of Creighton. Creighton played last night in that overtime game that Marquette won 106-104. Creighton 10-6 overall, 1-2 in the Big East. Their next game is at home again on Sunday, and that is against Villanova. Greg, thanks for joining us on the call. If you can give us, if you want to give us a brief comment on last night's game, and then Villanova's next for you.
I don't know if we have enough time to give a brief comment on last night's game. It was it was a crazy basketball game. It was a great basketball game. Two very good offensive teams, and you look at the stat sheet and you wonder how we lost. Shooting 51%, really both from the field and the 3-point line, 80% from the line, and only turn it over 9 times in an 80 possession game should be good enough to win. Except for Marcus Howard, he was terrific. I really felt like we only lost him one time during the game where he wasn't attended to when he took the shot. But he is a shot maker, and one of the best performances I've seen out of a college basketball player. And obviously I coached Doug, 5 or 6 years ago, and Doug had some great games, but what Marcus did last night, the efficiency with which he did it, we were able to rattle him a little and force him into 9 turnovers, but he did not let that shake him at all. Just hit big shot after big shot, and especially in the overtime period.
Questions for Coach Greg McDermott? Hit star one on your telephone. The operator will introduce you.
We do have several callers in the queue. We'll move to our first one, Roger Rubin from Newsday. Please go ahead.
Coach McDermott, when you take a look at St. John's, what do you see that is different, new from in this year?
Well, to be honest, I've watched very little of St. John's. I watched their game against Marquette, and obviously their versatility and the fact that you have 5 guys that are essentially perimeter players that all can drive it to the basket, that you have to respect most of their shots from the 3-point line enough that you have to stretch out and guard them, and really they're interchangeable defensively as well. They fight you in the post even though they're undersized, and they play with a pace that's difficult to guard. And add to that, you have, Shamari's one of the best guards in college basketball that's running the show for him. So, anytime you have a team with that kind of balance and guys that can do multiple things, and then the guy with the ball in his hands the most is as talented as Shamari, you're going to, it's going to be a problem to try to defend. I think they're off to a great start. I think they're one of the best teams in our league.
Thank you.
We'll move next to Joe Giuliano from Philadelphia Inquirer. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Greg.
Good morning.
I don't know how much of a chance you've gotten to see Villanova since you're just coming off a game last night, but I just wondered if you saw anything different in what they're doing from previous years. And second part of the question is your thoughts on the effect that Booth and Pascal have on the team.
Yeah, well, I didn't feel like watching the Marquette game again last night, so I watched Villanova instead. I'm not sure that made me feel any better. They're playing really well right now. I think the best compliment I can give to Villanova is, you have to beat them. They are not going to beat themselves. And, they obviously have a lot of new pieces with what they lost to the NBA, and guys are in different roles because of that, but they still have 2 all-league players in Booth and Pascal, and those 2 guys are a handful to deal with, and they're hard to guard one-on-one. You have to guard them to the 3-point line, yet they're terrific at getting in the paint and setting their feet and making plays for other people. So, I think the faces have changed. I don't know that they're playing much different than they have in the past. They still spread you out. they're still a threat from the 3-point line. They do a good job of getting fouled, and they do a good job of keeping you off the free throw line. So, this is still a very good Villanova team. I don't care who you surround, Pascal and Booth with, you're going to have a good basketball team.
Thank you, Greg.
John Niatawa from Omaha World Herald, please go ahead.
Yeah, Greg, I guess just now that you've had time to sort of process a little bit, have you been in a game like that, the way it ended?
No, really. Like that? You know, first time in 30 years I've experienced anything like that. And obviously hindsight's undefeated. There's a lot of things I wish we could have done different. But you got to live with it and you got to move on and learn from it. And that's what we intend to do. But, there were some crazy things that had to happen late in that game for them to come back and win it. Us making the mistake on the out of bounds play and, them throwing in a shot, in 0.8 seconds. He had a lot of motion for 0.8 seconds, but the referees ruled it good, so we got to live with the outcome.
Thanks, Ray.
We'll hear next from Evan Daniels from Fox Sports.
Hey, Greg. Question.
Morning, Evan.
About Tyshawn Alexander. He's obviously been really good for you this year, and he's made a significant jump, 5 points a game last year, up to 17 this year. Obviously, you lost a lot on the perimeter, but did you expect that he would be able to come out and perform the way that he has for you this season in this way?
I mean, I don't know that anybody expects someone that, played a backup role as a freshman to average 17 points a game, at the halfway point of your season. And, besides his scoring, he's got 46 assists versus 31 turnovers. He's shooting 80% from the free throw line, over 40% from the 3-point line, and defensively he's improving. So, Tyshawn worked extremely hard. When it was clear that Kyrie was making the jump to the NBA, I think he saw an opportunity for him to step into a role that Kyrie and Marcus Foster had played for us in the past. And to his credit, he's prepared himself for that. And there's been a few bumps in the road, like I think there would be with any player in his second collegiate season. But he's been terrific for us. And, we got to get the ball in his hands a little bit more.
Was there anything particular in the off season that you noticed from him?
Yeah, I think he's developed his body. I think the strength and the endurance is better than it was a year ago. We worked on getting his shot off a little bit quicker. And he's done a good job of that. And, he made a couple plays going to the basket last night where, he can finish at the rim. He can stop his, while 2-point shots analytically aren't a great shot for Tyshawn Alexander, they are. His pull-up game, his forward game is really, really good, and he's really efficient. So not often do you have a guy that's as good at shooting 3-point shots as he is that has that in-between game to go with it.
Awesome. Thank you.
We'll take one more question for Coach Greg McDermott.
David Woods from the Indianapolis Star.
Yes, Coach. Already fans and those of us in the media obsess and try to project out who makes the NCAA tournament and who doesn't out of the Big East. I guess how do you keep your, guys from not getting distracted or worrying too much ahead or because, they see and read what people are talking about.
Well, number one, we're just halfway through our season now, so I think it's way too early to talk about any of that. We're in a league that has proven its strength and earned its medals over the course of the last, since the late 70s, but certainly even when we reinvented ourselves 5 or 6 years ago, we've gotten multiple teams into the NCAA tournament, and I think it's no different this year. Teams that finished 9-9, 10-8, and above are going to have a great chance to go to the NCAA tournament, especially if the teams played a good non-conference schedule and had some success versus that schedule. So, I think in coaching, you try to get your guys to live in the present and take one game at a time, one practice at a time, and that's certainly our approach as we're looking at the rest of the season.
Thank you.
Greg, we appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you very much.
You bet. Thank you.
Thanks. Again, that's Creighton's next game is at home against Villanova. That's this Sunday. It's on Fox. It's at noon Eastern time. Next up, we have Coach Ed Cooley from Providence. Friars are 10-5 overall, 0-2 in the Big East. They haven't played since last Saturday's game against Villanova. They're getting ready to go to Georgetown for a Saturday tip-off, FS1, at noon. We have Coach Ed Cooley on the line. Ed, thanks for joining us on the call. If you could give us some thoughts on your team's preparation for the Georgetown game, and then we'll open it up for questions.
Yeah, I just got out of watching them play again last night against Xavier. Started out really well. You know, I think they're a really good, efficient offensive team. Golden, one of the best big men in the country. He's an inside-outside threat. I think they're a great rebounding team. Their young talent is spectacular. My team is, coming off back-to-back home losses, so trying to rally our troops, get them going in the right direction, and, head on the road and see what we're made of.
Questions for Coach Ed Cooley from Providence. Hit star one on your telephone, and the operator will introduce you.
We do have a caller, David Woods, Indianapolis Star. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Coach, I'll maybe ask you the same thing I asked Coach McDermott. Even this early, fans and media tend to obsess about the NCAA tournament. How do you keep your guys from not doing so when there's so much ahead of the season?
Well, we don't talk about the NCAA tournament with respect to who's going to get there. I think our league has fared really well over the years, in particular the last 5 years since we relaunched our new league. We're at the halfway point of the season. We're into our third Big East game, and, I think the magic number for us in our league is always 9 or 10 games. If you can get to 11, that's a plus. So, when you're dealing with a young team, right now we're a young league losing, I think, 19 of our top 30 scorers from last year. You just got to try to keep your men in the present and let the chips fall where they may. But it's definitely something I would say in the next couple of weeks we start to talk about and see where we fall within the league. But there's a lot more basketball left to be played, so we got to do a really good job coaching our individual teams and see how the league plays out. It's going to be tough, though. It's not going to be easy.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll hear next from John Steppe from Marquette Wire.
Coach, did you get a chance to see the Marquette-Creighton game? And if so, what did you think of Marcus Howard's 53-point performance? And how do you, as a coach that will have to play him in about a week or so, how do you plan on stopping him or at least slowing him down?
Marquette's a very good basketball team. He can't do it on his own. I didn't have a chance to see the whole game. I did watch the ending, on the clips that they showed. We were out last night coaching our own team and recruiting. He's a great player, played well against us last year, but I'm not worried about Marquette. We got a couple more games before we face them. They got a great team. They're doing a really good job, but we'll deal with Marquette in a week or so. Right now, I'm concerned about Georgetown.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have any other questions for Coach Ed Cooley?
My kind of call.
All right, Ed. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you soon. Again, that's Providence playing at Georgetown, and that's noon on Saturday on FS1. And next up, we have Coach Dave Lato from DePaul. DePaul right now is 1-2 in the Big East, 9-5 overall. They're getting ready to play St. John's at Carneseca Arena on Saturday. That's a 6 p.m. Eastern tip on CBS Sports Network. And Coach Dave Lato is on the line. Dave, thanks for joining us. Your last game was a win over Seton Hall. If you'd like to give us a brief comment on that game and then your thoughts playing against St. John's.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And, obviously going back to Saturday, anytime, you're playing this league, you have a challenge on how you're going to either defend or score against a very good team. And Seton Hall has proven itself, thus far to be very, very good. I thought like a lot of the games that we've played this year, we were able to compete and have a lead at different points of the game. And true to form, Seton Hall, doesn't panic. They've been up and they've been down, and they rallied, especially late, but we were able to make a couple of key stops, at critical points in the game and then get over the hump in terms of putting the ball in the basket when it was needed to be able to come away with a win. And, the way that this league is shaping up thus far, wins are not very easy for anybody. And so you're going to have to work really, really hard, and particularly in last 2 or 3 minutes of the game. So we're just fortunate to have come out ahead this week. We don't play during the week as a lot of teams do, and it gives us a little bit extra time, one, to rest and shore up some things in our gym, and then get ready for a very, very difficult road game against St. John's, who, as we look at this league, especially in the backcourt, has some very, very difficult players to defend. And Shamari Pontus is the head of that list, and a guy that is averaging over 20 points a game and assisting at a very high rate and making his teammates better. They shoot the lights out of the ball, and anytime you shoot over 40% from 3-point land as a team, it's very, very difficult to defend. And then put the ball on the floor, make plays too. So that'll be a great challenge for us on Saturday.
Questions for Coach Dave Leto. Hit star one on your telephone. The operator will introduce you.
We'll hear first from Adam Zagoria from SNY.
Hey, Dave. How are you doing today?
Good, Adam.
So St. John's obviously could be, undefeated right now if they didn't have a controversial call at the end of the Seton Hall game and they blew a late lead at Villanova there. You talked about them a little. How do you kind of assess where they are right now and, their ability to kind of close games out?
Yeah, I think, part of being able to close games out is having a closer. And in baseball, it's called, that guy that comes into the eighth or ninth inning. And in basketball, is having a guy that has the ball in his hands that makes great decisions. And that's what Shamari Pons has been for them. And, the time that he's played for St. John's is that he's an extremely trustworthy guy to make good and positive decisions most every time. And then when it comes down to late game situations, he becomes even better. He's as cool a customer on the collegiate level as you're going to find. And, whether if you give him space, he can make a shot. If you play up on him, he can go by you. If you put another set of eyes and another body on him, he's going to make somebody else better. And so it becomes a very, very difficult guard overall, but particularly late in the game. And he knows the angles very well. He knows how to use his body, create contact. He does all the little things that a guy that is beyond his years mentally as well as physically can do. So it creates a great challenge late game.
Okay, thanks, and good luck.
Okay, thanks, Adam.
We'll hear next from Sean Brennan from BigEast.com.
Morning, Dave.
Morning.
Dave, a lot of people tend to think the Big East is more wide open this season than in past years. And I was wondering what your thoughts on that are, and in light of your win over Seton Hall and, tightly contested losses to Nova and Xavier, if this is the year that DePaul can maybe get back in the mix in the conference.
Well, I think, especially because we're early on, each one of the 10 teams, has a high level of optimism as to what, the season will be able to bring. But, for anybody, I think because the 9 opponents that you have to face are so formidable, there is no game where you could say, hey guys, if we take care of this, that, and the other, we'll be in great shape. So, you got to prepare every day to go to war. And the games have shown, the amount of close games and one possession games at the end and overtimes and those kind of things that we've seen in the first 3 or 4 games of the season, prove that out. And so, it's coming down to, and will continue to come down to, a possession here or a possession there. And that speaks to the competitive level and the balance, I think, that this league is showing, so far. You've got to try as best you can to protect your home floor and play as well as you can on the road and try to steal it at the end. And so I think if you ask every one of the 10 coaches in this league, they'll have the same same answer for you to say that, you know, this is a hotly contested, very balanced league, and, you know, the team record may not show sometimes either wins or losses exactly how good they are, because it may come down to a possession here or a possession there.
Okay, and I was also wondering, do you have an update on how Jalen's doing with his hand injury?
You know, it's got to take some time. The surgery that he had has got to heal, and so he's just began a little bit of the rehab process and getting the hand moving again. And you know, so I don't know that there's a specific timetable. It's probably going to be more on you know, when he's a little bit less in his pain and to the point where he can be pain-free. And so, you know, there's a range of time that has been given, but we're still trying to play it by ear.
Okay. Thanks, Ted.
Okay. Thank you.
Moving next to Roger Rubin from Newsday.
Yeah, I'm curious about what you see in St. John's and what you think they're interesting.
What I think, what was the last part of that?
What do you think is interesting about St. John's and the way that they have sort of elevated themselves?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, obviously their style of play is as unique, you know, as anybody, not just in this league, but around the country, because they play small ball and they spread you out, you know, and so initially it's your transition defense that can get compromised if you don't get back early, because they put the ball on you so quickly, and then they spread around the 3-point line, and, you know, a little bit, Villanova last year was very, very difficult. And again, this year to guard, because all five guys on the floor could shoot. I think that's part of what you face with St. John's, is that, you know, if they want to play advantage basketball, get somebody open to shoot the three. And so conventional wisdom and how you guard is compromised a little bit, because you can't leave people open. You can't overhelp. You can't, you know, do the things that coaches naturally preach, because they shoot the ball so well, and they don't really pay a price on the defensive end, because they swarm so much and they got really good hands. They steal the ball and they get in passing lanes. And so they make up for a lack of size on the defensive end by rallying around each other. So, you know, it has become thus far this season for them a really, you know, great advantage. And when an era now where shooting the three ball is critical to one's success, and they do it very, very well.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Coach Dave Lato? Dave, looks like we're good. Thank you for your time, as always. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Again, that's DePaul at St. John's on Saturday. That's at Carneseca Arena at 6 p.m. Eastern on CBS Sports Network. There's a couple references in the last call or the last coach or two about winning at home. So far, there's been 16 league games played, and home teams are 9-7. So 16, and there's a total of 90 conference games played. So 16 out of 90 for how far along we are in the conference season, and then home teams are 9-7. And also NCAA tournament bids and what it takes to get an NCAA tournament. In the first 5 years of our current configuration, we're in year six now, in the first 5 years, the Big East has gotten 28 NCAA tournament bids over the first 5 years. Next up, we have Coach LaValle Jordan of Butler. And Butler played last night at Seton Hall, and Seton Hall came away with a 76-75 victory. And Butler now 1-2 in the Big East and 10-6 overall. Their next game, they're back on the road at Xavier on Sunday at noon. Coach LaValle Jordan. LaValle, thanks for joining us. If you can give us a brief comment on last game, and then moving up, our next anyway is Xavier.
Yeah, thanks. Last game, obviously Seton Hall, I think is a very, very tough opponent, and they were coming off a loss and at home, and we knew going in just emotionally that they would be charged up and ready to respond to that. And I thought we got off to a good start. at the beginning of the game there, and made some good plays. We started off with three straight defensive stops and set a pretty good tone. And then when they responded, we didn't respond the best in the first half. I did a poor job offensively of just getting our guys organized. But second half, we came back and battled, and they made some big plays down the stretch. And it was kind of one of those games where everybody was going to have to make a play, and they made more down the stretch than we did. So a lot of positives to come out of that for our team. I think Joey Brunk, starting his first game on the road and performed well. And, I think a couple guys, we got guys in there that did a lot of positives. We just have to continue to fight, to continue to believe each other. And obviously Xavier's going to be a tough challenge, on the road again on Sunday.
Questions for Coach LaValle Jordan. Hit *1 on your telephone. The operator will introduce you.
We'll hear from David Woods from Indianapolis Star.
Yes, good morning, LaValle. You guys had a good flight back from Newark. I was just wondering, given the, tradition that Butler has and fans seem to take it for granted that, Butler just makes it in the NCAA tournament, how do you keep your, guys from not obsessing about something like that so early in the season? I mean, they read and see social media, but I know you don't want them worrying about that this early in the year.
Yeah, I think obviously when you set goals early in the year, that's definitely one of them. And then you put it on the shelf, and then you focus on the day and what you can do today to control that. And so I think that's been our focus, is not, the 18 conference games and going into the Seton Hall game. It's you just got one game to focus on and one game to play, and that game's going to have about 75, 80 possessions, and let's win more of those possessions than we don't, and try to minimize the focus, because that's how, the results come with great focus and on, the small things and shrinking the game. Don't hear that stuff and see that stuff, but not from us. Right now, we just need to be better practicing on Friday and Saturday to prepare for Xavier.
Okay, thanks.
We'll hear next from Adam Zagoria from SNY.
Hey, Coach, how you doing today?
Hey, Adam.
Seton Hall was picked 8th in the conference. They're in second place right now. Miles Powell seems to be in the mix for, player of the year with a couple other guys. Are you at all surprised by how they've come together and the job Kevin's done with them?
I'm impressed by it. I don't know, surprised. I mean, I'm impressed by just the resilience of their team. I told our guys they hang around and they figured out a way to win it at the end. And obviously Miles is having a remarkable year in this first half of the season. And he creates a belief in their entire group, I think, as a leader. And Kevin's done a good job, of building up their confidence. And they've won a couple big games, so they have something to draw on. And so, like I said, we knew going into that, that you're going to have to be tough. It's going to be a 40-minute game, and never out of it with what they've shown up to this point. So, I think he's doing a really good job, and obviously they're playing really well right now.
Okay, thanks, Coach. Good luck.
Moving next to Tom Davis from 10 Sports.
Hey, Coach, this league is filled with guys like Miles Powell that really get downhill quickly and powerfully, and I think you guys took 4 charges last night. From a teaching standpoint, what do you teach to contain drivers in this league, because you're going to face them every single game?
Hey, Tom. Yeah, that's, it's our principles. We just try to stick to our principles, and I thought early in the game we were better than, as the game went on, we loosened up where early we were shrinking the core. We took some charges, got some deflections by being in position. Then later, as the game, played out, later we were not in the position we need to be in. But, obviously there's one guy on the ball that, and his job is to keep the ball in front of him. And then the other four guys have to be aware and in position. And so position is your help, and but we can't rely on that. You still got to do a good job on the ball. And, we didn't do it. A lot of the fouls that they, free throws that they shot last night were a result of poor position or late to get to position. And now they're at the line 37 times. And so we've got to do a better job of defending without fouling.
Okay. Also, the ball movement last night within your offense, it seemed like Kamar was really handling it a lot, dribbling it late into the shot clock. Were you satisfied with the amount of ball movement you got as far as via passing as opposed to dribbling last night?
No. Watching it back, I think, and Gibson Hall, they had a lot to do with that by changing, changing defenses. They soft pressed and got back, and so it took away some clock. You had a time there. We're trying to identify whether they were in man or zone, and now the clock's ticking. But no, we have to move the ball better. The number of assists. When we're playing at our best, we've had a game this year where we've had 27 assists on 34 made field goals. Not that you're going to have that every night, but when we're playing at our best, basketball, the ball's moving and we're getting, numbers that are field goals on our assist percentage is pretty high. So we've got to do a better job of having a clear plan, for changing defenses. And again, that's on us as coaches.
All right. Thanks for your time today, Coach. I'll see you on Sunday.
Thanks, Tom.
Lavelle, we have to move on. Thanks for your time, as always. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. That's Butler's next game is at Xavier. That's Sunday at noon Eastern on CBS Sports Network. Next up, we have St. John's and Coach Chris Mullen. St. John's last game was on Tuesday at Villanova. Villanova won the game 76-71. Johnnies are 14-2 overall, 2-2 in the Big East, getting ready to play at home back at Carneseca against DePaul Saturday at 6 o'clock. And we have Coach Chris Mullen on the line. Chris, thanks for joining us. If you want to offer a brief comment on the Villanova game and your thoughts on the upcoming game against DePaul.
Yeah, if it's okay, I'll just take questions, if that's okay.
Sure. Let's go to questions for Coach Chris Mullen, and I see a couple in the queue now.
Roger Rubin from Newsday, please go ahead.
Yeah, Chris, I'm sort of interested in knowing what you divined from the last game and what you can apply to the next game.
That's a broad question. And I think maybe I'll answer that after the next game.
Wow, that's well, there are things that you did at the end of the last game that, are the things that people ask questions about. So what do you think about the things that happened at the end?
Like what? Like what, Rod? You gotta ask me specific, like, last 5 minutes, last 8 minutes, last,
Well, it's been a rare occurrence that you guys have gone 1-for-9 on the field, and it's been a rare occurrence that you guys have given up not controversial, but difficult offensive rebounds to the other team. So what do we do about that?
I think they got 9 or 10 offensive rebounds. Look, that's partly boxing out. Partly the ball bounces strange ways sometimes. Look, the two games we lost, we've won games very similar to them. Actually, even at the end of that game, we had a turnover. We were down three. We opted not to foul. And the ball went to the back, but they got the 50-50 ball on the sideline. So, we have off yesterday. We're going to have a nice practice today. Good practice on Friday and get ready to play DePaul. Not really looking too far back into all the details, and quite frankly, the details wouldn't be publicly shared. It's kind of something we're going to do as a team to get ready for our next win.
Can we move on to the next question, please?
Zachary Braziller from New York Post, please go ahead.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
Hey, Zach.
Chris, there were similarities, between this game and Seton Hall in terms of, when the ball stopped moving. Why do you think that is? Where, you didn't see that at Marquette, you didn't really see that at Georgetown, you didn't see that a lot of your, the last few non-conference games. Why do you think in this game and the Seton Hall game the ball just stopped moving late?
I think very similar. Why, I don't know. I don't know. We get off to a really good start sometimes. That becomes, I thought we got a little lax and we thought we were going to get those shots all night. We got off to a really nice, smooth start. In both instances, I think you got to give the other team credit. They play good defense. Especially last game had, Villanova liked to play a small lineup. They got some good defenders. So combination of, us not moving the ball like we should, I think you can't shortchange the opponent's defense as well.
Also, Chris, is LJ okay? It looks like he got hurt a little bit late in that game.
I'm heading over today in a little bit, so find out.
Okay.
We'll move next to Adam Zagoria from SNY.
Hey, Chris, how are you doing today?
Adam, how are you?
Good. I guess you've kind of already addressed this, but just in terms of closing games, out hard, is there anything you can or will do with the guys to make sure they really focus in the last couple minutes and close out as hard as they can or more efficient offensively?
Yeah, I mean, we play a lot of close games. And we've done a good job in some, and obviously two we haven't. So we'll try and do better, obviously. But again, it's something that, we're going to try and do better, promise.
Okay, thanks.
Andrew Hattersley to DePaulia, please go ahead.
Hey, Coach. As you look to develop a consistent winning program at St. John's, I'm just curious with the group of transfers that you've brought in the past couple of years, in terms of where they've come from before and the winning programs there, how has that helped you guys turn it around this season?
Well, historically at St. John's, we've always had transfers and Thomas Brothers, so maybe new to some other schools, if not very new historically at St. John's, we've had guys like that. And a lot of times they come with a little more maturity, a little more experience, probably a little more open mind because they've been somewhere else and probably a little more open to making things work at their next destination.
Thanks, Coach.
We'll take one final question for Coach Chris Mullen.
Don Stepe from Marquette Wire, please go ahead.
Hey, Coach, you've been one of the few teams to really slow down Marcus Howard. What's the key to stopping him?
I think a lot of luck, actually. We had a nice game plan. It doesn't always work against a kid like that. If he gets hot, he'll make shots, even when you play good defense. So we caught him probably on a good night. I give ourselves some credit, but good offense. He's good defense all the time, and he's an incredible scorer. And I don't think
there's
a whole lot you can win. Okay.
Chris, we have to move on. Thanks as always for your time. We'll talk to you soon. Again, that's St. John's playing at home at Carneseca against DePaul Saturday, 6 p.m. CBS Sports Network. Next up, we have Kevin Willard of Seton Hall. The Pirates played last night. They beat Butler 76-75. Seton Hall now 12-4 overall, 3-1 in the Big East. getting ready to go to Marquette on Saturday. Kevin, thanks for joining us. If you can give us a brief thought on last night's win over Butler, and then up next, Marquette.
Hey, yeah, John. It was really just a good tough battle last night. I thought both teams played really hard, made some good plays down the stretch, and was happy with the way we ended the game and made some good plays down the stretch, and obviously have a huge test ahead of us with Marquette, not only because of how well Marcus Howard is playing, but I think overall how well Steve has them playing defensively and how hard they're playing. So it's going to be a big challenge for us.
Questions for Coach Kevin Willard? Hit star one on your telephone, please.
We'll hear first from J.P. Pelsman from Rivals.com.
Good morning, Kevin.
Morning, J.P.
Hey, I just want to ask you, and I know we've asked you this before, but what does it say about Miles Powell? I mean, obviously, being named to these watch lists and all that, he's obviously a star player, but he just is so unselfish and unassuming as far as the way he defers when he has to. How easy is it to coach a player like that who's so talented yet so unselfish?
Well, I think what makes him so coachable, JP, is the fact that, and I said this, he's a genuinely great kid. He's got a great heart, and he wants all his teammates to do well. And, it's never him first. He's always thinking of his teammates. And when you have an unselfish player, on the court and off the court, it just makes it that much more fun to coach. And it's a big reason why he's being so successful, because his teammates want him to be successful, because he wants his teammates to be successful.
Thanks, Kevin.
We'll hear next from David Woods from the Minneapolis Star.
Yes, good morning, Coach, from the Newark Airport.
well, aren't you
guys
lucky?
So lucky. you can't help kids from, looking at the bracketology and hearing, projections even as early as now about the NCAA tournament. How do you keep them, I guess, focused and not thinking about that? Or do you even try? Or is that just something it's the modern culture of college basketball?
Yeah,
we'll talk
that's
about
a good question.
All the time.
You know, 3 or 4 years ago, I tried to get kids not to, don't think about it, which is, next game. But the problem is with social media now, it's impossible to get them not to be aware of it or hear about it. So I've actually embraced it, and I've talked about it. And, we use all the analytics, the numbers, the net rankings, the RPI. We use bracketology about, what wins can do, what seeding means, the importance of road wins or home wins. I've kind of gone the other way, and we talk about it on a almost weekly basis about, the teams we're playing and the teams we've played and how it can help you and the importance of seeding, because it's obviously the most important thing in the NCAA tournament. And, I've just embraced it and taken all those analytics and try to educate our guys so that when they see that stuff, they kind of understand it.
Okay. Yeah, that is different. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Up next is Ben Steele from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
Hey, Coach. How are you doing today?
Good, Ben. How are you?
Good. I don't know if you had a chance to see Marcus Howard's performance last night.
Unfortunately, I have.
So, along those lines, for such a smaller guard, how is he so effective in scoring so well?
Well, I think what Marcus does, first of all, he has a tremendous motor. For the amount of minutes he plays, he doesn't dog it on defense. The kid works on defense. The first thing he does, he has a tremendous motor, and he's always he's never standing still. So, they're going to bring him off triple screens. They're going to bring him off fade screens. They're going to bring him off down screens. And then most importantly, I think one of the things that he's really improved on And what's made him unbelievably tough to defend is he's really started to shoot the ball going to his right much better than he did last year. I think in the years past, you could kind of shade him to his right a little bit, and you could get away with him shooting a tougher jump shot than him going to his left. But I've been so impressed with him with the fact that, you know, he's shooting going to his right just as good as he's shooting going to his left. And I just think, you know, he never stops moving. He never stops working at it. And I think when you're a small guard, if you don't have a good motor, you're easy to defend. And he's got a great motor, and he really works at trying to score in different ways.
Yeah, and you've got your own elite scorer in Miles. Do you see any kind of comparisons between the two?
Yeah, I mean, I think they both, you know, I think they both have unbelievable range. You know, you got to guard them when they get off the bus. And, you know, I think they both have a very willing, they're both very willing to pass the basketball. Just because they have it doesn't mean they're going to shoot it. I think Marcus is very underrated for the fact that he gets his teammates involved and makes right decisions. And I think that's something that Miles also does.
Thanks, Coach. See you this
You're
weekend.
Welcome. Yep.
Jerry Carino from Asbury Park Press, please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, Kevin. Sorry, chiming
hey,
a little late here. So, obviously, home court is a big deal everywhere in the Big East, but what, in your mind, what makes Marquette so good in their building? What's maybe different about their place? Or I haven't been there, so I'm really curious as to why the success rate for them there.
I think the beer and brats are really good there, Jerry. And, you know, it's something that, you know, Northeast guys aren't used to that. No, I haven't been to the new building either. You know, I heard the new building's beautiful, but even in their old building, it's always been a very engaged crowd. I've always felt like, you know, they're not fans that sit on their hands and wait for something to happen. They've always had a great turnout, student turnout. And I think, you know, now that they're with their new building, it's only enhanced that experience.
Thanks, Kevin.
We'll hear next from John Stuppy from Marquette Wire.
Obviously, Marcus Howard gets a lot of the attention. Who else is somebody that kind of you're really game planning against?
Well, I mean, I've been really impressed with Joey Hauser. But, you know, we're going to focus on Sakar Anin a little bit because he really hurt us last year. You know, he's out there for 30 minutes, and he does so much for them, you know, driving the basketball. He puts a lot of pressure on getting into the paint and getting guys in foul trouble. He does a great job of getting in the paint, kicking inside to out, and getting guys shots. You know, he really hurt us in both games last year. And really, you really have to worry about both Hausers just because, you know, they score in so many different ways. Obviously, they can shoot the basketball, but both of them can bring you down, post you up. And I think that, you know, we're also game playing offensively. And I think I've been really impressed with how good Theo John has been defensively for them.
Thank you.
We'll take one final question for Kevin Willard.
Oh, come on, John. That was 10 minutes, right?
That'll come from Adam Zagoria from SNY.
Kev, how are we doing, buddy?
What's up, Ed?
You know, great stuff there on the bracketology thing. Can you provide an example there of, you know, how you talked about a certain game or team, maybe Kentucky or Marquette or whoever, you know, with your team and kind of the breakdown a little bit?
I don't do it individually. So it's not like, hey, if we win this game. No, it's more of combining your opponent with their numbers, with your numbers, and understanding how those numbers all affect seeding. So it's never just like, hey, if we win this game, it's you're going to be a 1 seed. If you lose a game, you're a 20 seed. No, I never put it on one game. Then you're putting pressure on that game. It's more or less trying to make sure that with all the things they're hearing, educating them on what those numbers are, and them understanding the importance of those numbers. You know, so I never just say, well, the Kentucky game, and you know, if we win this game, it's great. It has nothing. It's never individualized. It's always grouped as pairings.
Well, was there something specific that made you change your philosophy to not talking about this?
I remember Kadeen and Angel, I think it was about 3 years ago, were talking about it. We're talking about, I think, the bracketology came out on ESPN, and they were talking about it, and they were talking about it like they didn't really understand it. And, you know, you'd be surprised at college kids. Sometimes they're in such a bubble. They don't always understand what's going on. And so I think we sat down in a team meeting, and I asked some questions about, all right, you know, what KenPom is, you know, what the RPI is, and really none of them knew what the hell I was talking about. And so from that standpoint, from that point on, you know, we had weekly meetings about, you know, what our numbers are, what our defensive numbers are, and offensive numbers are. And I think it just helped kind of for them to understand the importance of certain things.
Sounds good. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Ed. Have a good one.
All right, Kevin, thanks for the extra
Johnny,
time. Thank you.
It was great seeing you last night, Johnny. Thanks for making the trip to Newark.
All right, thank you. And Seton Hall's next game is with Marquette, and now we're bringing in Marquette coach Steve Wojciechowski. And, of course, Marquette was in the game last night. The win over Creighton, 106-104. Coach, I'm sure everybody on the call knows about Marcus Howard's achievements last night, but if you could give us a brief comment on last night's game and then moving on to Seton Hall.
Well, last night's game was one of the best college basketball games that I've ever been a part of, and fortunately I've been able to be a part of a few. I thought Creighton played incredibly well, and we feel very fortunate to have won the game. It was a game where, you know, obviously I thought both teams were worthy of winning. And, you know, we just feel very fortunate that we won against an outstanding Creighton team that was really ready to play and played an outstanding game. Marcus, obviously, is playing as well as any guard in the country. You know, somebody asked me last night, are you surprised? I think we're past the point of being surprised. Marcus is capable of having magical moments as a player, and certainly last night in Omaha was, you know, as good a performance as I've seen from a player. And he's a very special young man, and he's an outstanding player.
And, Coach, can you give us a thought on Seton Hall?
Yeah, I think Kevin's done an unbelievable job with this team. I'm not sure there's anyone in our conference that's playing harder than Seton Hall. They have, from my view, a tremendous competitive edge and connectivity, and they have a star in Miles Powell. They've had great wins, obviously, to this point in the season. And I think it's because those kids just, they believe, they grind it, they never stop coming at you. And they have a great player who, when the game's in the balance, can win it for them. So, we'll be as tough a test as we've had all season.
Questions for Coach Steve Wojciechowski. Hit *1 on your telephone, please. Operator will introduce you.
We'll hear from Ben Steele from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Please go ahead.
Hey, Coach Wojciechowski, long time no see.
Yeah. Did you make it back?
Yeah, I just got back a couple minutes ago. All in one piece, mostly.
Good.
So, you know, after such a great team win and, you know, obviously Marcus' performance, I'm sure there's a tendency to want for the guys to celebrate it a little. How tough is it to kind of turn the page, and especially you got a tough test against Seton Hall coming up in just a few days?
Well, you have to turn the page in this league. I mean, you know, every win, you know, and again, obviously last night's win was a very special one for our team, and our guys were very happy, obviously.
But in this league, every win counts as one. And you got to be able to turn the page and focus on, you know, the task at hand, which now is preparing for a big-time team and program in Seton Hall. That's our job as coaches, to help our guys get past what just happened. I think overall our team has done a pretty good job of that, whether it's coming off a big win or a tough loss. But that'll be a big challenge for our group, and I'm anxious to see how we respond.
And Seton Hall has its own elite scorer, Miles Powell. What do you think the key is defensively against him?
Well, you know, he's a guy, I think he's playing as well as anyone. You know, obviously his scoring is elite, but I've been so impressed with his decision making. You know, teams have tried a lot of different ways to take him out of the game, and teams haven't been able to take him out of the game. And when teams, you know, commit one or two defenders on him, you know, he's still making really good decisions and raising the level of the guys around him. And, boy, he's as, from the time he got to Seton Hall to where he's at now, I just have the utmost respect for how he's improved. And it speaks to, obviously the job Kevin's done, but it also speaks to how hard that kid must work, because, you know, he's one of the best guards in the country. There's no question about that.
Cool. Thanks, Coach.
Yep.
Jerry Carino from Asbury Park Press, please go ahead.
Hi, Steve. In the Big East has three guards on the wooden watch list, three All-America candidates. And you've been around a lot of great basketball in your career. How often have you seen a league with three players this explosive and it's consistent in the backcourt?
Well, I'm not sure I've seen, you know, three guards that can take over a game like the three guards in our conference, with Marcus and Pons and Powell. I mean, those guys literally, and no one wins a game single-handedly because it's a team game, but the performances that those guys are capable of having are just incredible. And I hope the fans of the Big East and people who watch and support our league appreciate what they're seeing, because guys like that don't come around very often. And, you know, I think it's a real challenge as a coach to figure out how to stop those guys. And you're not going to stop them, but to make life harder on them is a Rubik's Cube that I'm not sure anybody's completely figured out.
Thanks, Steve.
We'll take one final question for Coach Wojciechowski.
That'll come from Evan Daniels from Fox Sports.
Hey, Coach, question about Marcus. When, you know, that was the third time he's gone for 45 or more this season. When you see him kind of getting into that zone, do you change how, or what do you do differently with him, with the team, to kind of free him up for more shots?
Well, you know, I think there's certain times. I mean, Marcus is really good across the board and has obviously had an outstanding season and highlighted by some spectacular performances. And, you know, being around him enough, there's times where he can get a look in his eye and, you know, he's feeling it. And you just got to go to him, because what he's going to produce as a player is going to be better than any play that you may run. And so we trust Marcus. We believe in Marcus. We allow Marcus to follow his instincts. We have an incredible group of kids that when he is doing the things like he did last night, they're completely and totally in support of him. And his performances are spectacular, and the support that he gets from his teammates during those performances is pretty incredible too, because
in my experience, sometimes you can get, you know, things can get a little funky where there's jealousy when a guy is
right,
you know, shooting a majority of shots. And but our guys don't have an ounce of that in them. So, you know, I'm not sure there's a ton you do differently. You just put the ball in his hands and you try to allow him to create space in different ways and trust him. And that's been overall a really good formula for us.
Thanks, Bojan.
No problem.
Steve, we have to move on. Thanks for your time. As always, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And that's Marquette's next game is at Seton Hall on Saturday, or Seton Hall at Marquette. Next up, we have Coach Patrick Ewing from Georgetown. The Hoyas played last night at Xavier. Xavier won the game 81-75. Hoyas back at home on Saturday against Providence. Right now, Georgetown 11-5 overall, 1-2 in the Big East. We have Coach Ewing on the line. Coach, thanks for joining us. If you can give us maybe a brief thought of last night's game against Xavier, and then your thoughts on facing Providence on Saturday.
Hello. How are y'all guys doing? Last night was a tough loss. We had we went out to a big lead, kind of took our foot off the pedal, and they did a great job of, you know, coming back, you know, gotten into the zone. The zone threw our rhythm off. Then we just weren't able to make shots. Their bigs dominate us inside, and we have to do a much better job of handling things like that.
And, Coach, can you talk a little bit about Providence, which would be your next game?
Yeah, Providence, you know, as always, they've been a great team. You know, they have, a lot of, you know, they have, you know, great upperclassmen. They're an outstanding defensive team. They're in transition a little bit right now, but, you know, as all of us in the Big East know that, you know, they're going to be there at the end. They're well coached. And, you know, we're looking forward to the game.
Questions for Coach Patrick Ewing. Hit *1 on your telephone. The operator will introduce you.
We'll hear from Ava Wallace from The Washington Post.
Hey, Patrick, hope you're well. Wondering if you have an update on Mac McClung, if you guys have a timetable on him at all, or if you've had to go in for x-rays or anything like that.
Hello, Ava, how are you? He'll be practicing today, so we'll see how he goes. He doesn't practice today, and then we take it from there.
Okay. Is there, or I guess, what was the common thread that you've seen in your past two games? Obviously, close losses, but is there kind of one overarching issue that you'd like to address or one standout thing that you saw that connects the two games at all?
But I think they're both different. You know, the St. John's game, you know, turnovers hurt us. This game, you know, against Xavier, we did a good job of, you know, not turning it over, but then we got dominated, you know, in the paint. They had 48 points in the paint to our 28. And, you know, we can't let that happen if we want to be a good team.
Thanks, Patrick.
You're welcome.
We'll move next to Kevin McNamara from the Providence Journal.
Yes, Patrick, I'm curious if you can talk about the progress of your freshmen, both Josh and especially James Akinjo, who's maybe playing as well as any freshman in the league.
You know, I think all three of them are doing extremely well. Mac, unfortunately, he's hurt. He got hurt. He had 38, then he got hurt in practice the next practice. But, and then James and Josh, they're doing a fantastic job for us. You know, they still have a lot to learn. They still have a lot to do, to be great, players, you know, in this conference. But I like the progress, and I think in every day that they're getting better and every day they're learning.
What makes James an effective scorer at his size and obviously such a young guy?
Well, he has a strong belief in himself. You know, he believes that everything that he's doing, he's going to succeed. He has a great work ethic. He's here every day working on his game. I, I'm in my office, I hear the ball bounce, and I go look out, there's him, both he and Mac. You know, both of them have a strong belief in themselves, and they're driven to be successful.
Great. Thank you. See you Saturday.
See you on Saturday.
Any other questions for Coach Patrick Ewing? Patrick, looks like we're good. Thanks for your time. As always, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thank you. We are, and that's Georgetown playing at home against Providence on Saturday. That's FS1 at noon Eastern. Next up, we have Xavier and Coach Travis Steele. Xavier was on the other side of the game last night against Georgetown. Xavier came away with an 81-75 win. Musketeers now 10-7 overall, 2-2 in the Big East. They're staying at home on Sunday to play Butler. Noon tip-off, CBS Sports Network. And we have Coach Travis Steele on the line. Travis, thanks for joining us. If you can give us maybe a general thought on last night's win, and your next game is Butler, so some thoughts, general thoughts on facing Butler.
Yeah, you know, number one, I was really proud of our guys' effort and toughness that I think we showed last night against a really, really good Georgetown team. You know, obviously Georgetown got up early. I think they were up by 17 points, in the first half. And I thought we had a great response, to the adversity that we were in. And, I thought John Tankins and Tyree Jones did a great job giving us a presence around the rim, both, you know, rebounding and scoring and then playing out of the post. You know, Paul Scruggs and Najee Marshall did a great job driving the ball and trying to put pressure on the rim and, did a good job setting the ball. We ended up with only 4 turnovers, which has been kind of the Achilles heel for our team, to this point in the year. But again, really proud of the effort that we showed against a really good Georgetown team. So moving forward, you know, to, Butler, you know, they're really well coached. They got a tremendous player in Kamar Baldwin, who's a tremendous guard. He can score the ball and really play make. They're always really hard to play against. You know, they played the game the right way, and they spread the floor with a bunch of guys that can really shoot the ball, McDermott and Tucker and those guys. So it'll be a big challenge on Sunday.
Questions for Coach Travis Steele? Hit star 1 on your telephone. The operator will introduce you. Star 1, please.
Tom Davis from 10 Sports. Please go ahead.
Hey, Coach. I was curious, with Ryan, what did you see in his game at San Jose State that appealed to you and how you thought you could use him? And then talk a little bit about how his season has gone this year.
Yeah, I think, Tom, I think the one thing you recognize, obviously, very quickly with Ryan, and I've known Ryan since he was in high school, you know, because he's from 50 minutes from here at Greensburg, Indiana. He can really, really shoot the ball. And obviously, losing Trayvon Blewett, J.P. Nakura, Kaiser Gates, you know, we lost a lot of our shooting, and I felt like he could provide that scoring punch that we really needed on this year's team, because we really didn't have any guys who'd ever like scored at this level. You know, we've had some guys that played at this level, but just had guys that had not scored at this level, and I thought Ryan could bring that for us, and he has. You know, I think, you know, his kind of been up and down a little bit, but you know, even when he's not making shots, he changes the game offensively for us, you know, because you have to know where he's at all times, and you have to really you have to play him. So his spacing on the floor when he's in the game is much, much different than when he's out of the game. But I think he's doing a really good job. He's showing more toughness, on the defensive end, which has been a big thing for him, and on the glass, you know, competing, blocking out, making the hustle plays. It's like I told him, you know, before the season. You know, the things that I'm going to ask him to do take no talent. You know, it takes no talent to block out. It takes no talent to dive on the floor for a loose ball. It takes no talent to take charges. And I do think he's gotten a lot better on that end of the floor.
I'm curious, from a coaching standpoint, when you go and recruit a high school kid and you see a kid maybe like Ryan that maybe he's not at Xavier's level as a senior in high school, but do you kind of make a mental note of like, keep an eye on this kid. He might be somewhere as a grad transfer 4 years from now. Or do you're so consumed with Xavier and your players and who you're recruiting that you can't really track kids nationally like that?
You know, Tom, I think it's really hard to track kids nationally, but yeah, obviously, you know, you always cheer for the kids that maybe you've recruited or you had a relationship, you know, with, you know, through the recruitment process. You kind of always pay attention, you know. I think I'd be lied if I said I didn't. I mean, but you cheer for those guys, not necessarily that you want them to transfer or anything like that, but you want to see those guys do really, really well in their collegiate careers and hopefully reach their dreams.
All right. Thanks for your time, Coach.
Thanks, Tom.
Adam Baum from the Cincinnati Inquirer, please go ahead.
Hey, Trent, what's going on, man?
Nothing, Adam. How you been?
I'm good, man. Good to talk to you again after last night. So, you know, a lot was made of the comeback, you know, down 39-22 there with just over 3 minutes left in the first half. Was that the first time that you've smashed a whiteboard during a timeout, or are you surprised by how well it worked?
You know, again, you know, it was the first time. It would be the first time ever. I was proud of the response that our guys had, and you know, because obviously we were down by 17, and our guys showed a lot of fight. You know, from there and out, I thought we were the aggressors. You know, driving the ball, posting the ball, defensively playing with more hands on the glass. You know, from there and out, I guess if it takes me to bring the whiteboard to get our guys to do that, and see that like a whiteboard every single game. But hopefully we continue to grow in that area and continue to be the aggressor the entire game for 40 minutes rather than just, you know, 30 or then 25 minutes of the game.
You know, obviously the two other things that really stood out last night were no Quentin Gooden, and then you go with Zach Hankins and Tyreek Jones, your only two big men for the first time this year on the floor together at the same time, and it really worked. And I was thinking about that, and when Quentin gets back, how do you think playing alongside the two bigs is going to impact him? I tend to think that he will fare pretty well with both those guys out there on the floor. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. You know, obviously Q's day-to-day, you know, with his knee, we'll try to figure that piece out. But I think, you know, playing Zach in town was really good for us last night against Georgetown. And it gives us a presence around the rim, both offensively and defensively, and on the glass. You know, it gives us an identity. Now those guys got out of foul trouble, but they did a nice job overall doing that last night. It's a really, really good Georgetown front line. But I think you will fit in very nicely if we really do play those two guys together, because you know, Hugh, he's a really good playmaker. You know, he sees things on the floor, he creates. I think he'd fit in very, very nicely to playing with those two guys.
Thanks a lot, Coach. See you tomorrow.
Thanks, Adam.
Moving next to Joe Giuliano from Philadelphia Inquirer. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, Travis. You guys are coming to Philly next week. I just wondered about Zach Hankins. What contributions has he made to your team thus far, and how would you describe he does look a little different. How would you describe his personality?
he's got the worst game in college basketball. You know, Zach is fearless. You know, he is a warrior. He is very comfortable. He's very confident, you know, in who he is as a person. And the first day he came to Xavier, it would have been back in July. Our guys didn't know him from Adam. He never visited. He committed sight unseen the whole deal during the recruiting process. So he had no relationship with any of our guys, and we went out and actually played paintball. It was the day we were doing activity. And he was the most dominant player out there on that paintball course. And our guys loved him right from there. And, you know, just kind of fit in right away from day one. Again, just very confident in who he is as a person. He's a warrior. He's competitive. You know, he came from a very good program at Ferris State, where they won the national title, last year. So he's a winner. He knows what it takes to win. He's all about the team. He's been tremendous for us, with his rim protection around the rim defensively, you know, altering shots and blocking shots. And then offensively, he's a guy that we can play through on the offensive end as well around the low post. And he's tremendous on the offensive glass. So he's been a great addition to our program.
Great. Thank you, Coach.
Thank you.
I think one final question for Coach Travis Steele.
That will come from Shannon Russell from The Athletic. Hey, Coach, how you doing?
Doing good, Shannon.
As we hit the midpoint of the regular season, who do you think has shown the most growth this year, the most improvement?
You know, I would say I think Paul Scruggs has come a long way. He's a Swiss Army knife. I mean, he can impact the game in so many ways, you know, whether it's rebounding. Like, he had about 5 or 6 rebounds last night. He had double-digit rebounds at Marquette. You know, whether it's, you know, last night he played point guard and he has, I think, 4 assists, 1 turnover. And, you know, then he's also been our leading scorer in the Big East play. Defensively, he's gotten a lot better. He's making better decisions with the ball, whether it's in pick and roll, off the drive. He's made a big jump. And we need him to continue to make those big jumps. So, you know, moving forward, so I think there's a lot of room for improvement with him. But really proud of the development that he's made.
Thank you.
Travis, we have to move on. Thanks for your time, as always. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're moving on to Coach Jay Wright of Villanova. Villanova beat St. John's on Tuesday, 76-71. They're getting ready to go to Creighton on Sunday. Coach Jay Wright is on the line. Jay, thanks for joining us. If you can give us maybe a thought or two on Creighton, and then we'll open it up for questions.
Sure, John. I watched that game last night. What an incredible performance by them, and then not to come out with a victory has got to be tough. But I know they're a resilient team, and I know Coach McDermott get them going, so they'll be ready for us. They're just really explosive offensively. Maybe probably the most explosive offensive team we will have played yet. Great dynamic guards, and just can score from all spots on the floor, and always one of the toughest places to play in the country. So, you know, it'll be a new experience for a lot of our guys getting into that arena for the first time, and you just got to see it to believe it. So we just got to get them in there and get them comfortable as quick as possible.
Questions for Coach Jay Wright. Hit *1 on your telephone. The operator will introduce you.
Adam Segoria from SNY, please go ahead.
Hey, Jay, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, C, how are you, buddy?
Good, buddy. Just kind of what's your overall assessment on that St. John's team after playing them, on how good can they be, you know, how far could they go this year? And having a guy like Shimori, I mean, obviously you close the game out more efficiently offensively than they do, but having him as a closer, how should that help them going forward?
Yeah, they're definitely a top 25 team in the country. They are explosive offensively. One of the good things about going to play Creighton is having just played St. John's. You know, the two of them are probably with Marquette, the most explosive in our conference. And what makes Shimori so effective is not just his talent, but the shooters he has around him. You know, it's hard to stop him as it is, but, you know, you leave those guys and he's finding people and they're hitting shots. They're as difficult to guard as anybody we've played. And they play with a confidence and a level of experience that's going to be valuable for them, I think, postseason. In terms of Shamar being a closer, I mean, that, you know, that's what it takes. I mean, Phil Booth does that for us. All the good teams have that. Somebody that, you know, you can put the ball in their hands, are going to make the right play at the end of the game. And he's certainly one of the best in our conference.
Thanks, buddy. Good luck.
Thanks, man.
We'll hear next from Joe Giuliano from Philadelphia Inquirer.
Hello, Jay.
Joe.
Phil and Eric have logged a lot of minutes the last two games. I wonder, if that's concerning you a little bit, playing them so much. And I know the other night you said they're in really good shape, but I'm just wondering, like, how that might wear them down? And now that the younger guys seem to be finding their way a little better, would you think about reducing their minutes a little bit more?
Definitely. And it always sounds good until we get into the game situation. You know, I always have the plan. You know, as a staff, we say we have an idea of how we're going to get them less minutes and what our rotations are going to be, and then we get into the game, you know, and we get down 14-2, which has happened to us a couple games, you know, and then we find ourselves fighting back. So hopefully we can get off to some better starts, and we can get them a break in the first half, and then get into a good rotation that will help us in the second half, getting them a little rest.
Okay, thanks, Jay.
You got it, buddy.
Adam Segoria from SNY, please go ahead.
Yeah, Jay, just one more question. There's three Big East guards on the wooden midseason list there with Shamori, Miles Powell, and Marcus Howard. Just, you know, what does that say about the guards in this league? And have you seen a crop of guards like this in recent memory in the league?
Well, I think the Big East has always been known for great guards. And I think these three really keep the great tradition of Big East guards. I definitely think the three of them are the best in the country. I think Phil Booth is right up there with all three of them, which, you know, adds to depth. I think, man, Tyshawn Alexander's playing that way for Creighton. I mean, I think our conference arguably has the best guards in the country.
Thanks.
Yeah. One final question for Coach Jay Wright.
That will come from Andrew Hattersley, the DePaulia.
Hey, Coach. Having played DePaul and St. John's, already, two teams that were obviously at the bottom of the conference last year that have played you tough, where do you see the overall parity of the conference right now?
You know, I think most of us in the coaching ranks of the Big East have known this from the beginning of the year. We all said that some of the teams that were at the top of the league last year are younger, and some of the teams that were at the bottom of the league last year are significantly better. I think we're seeing that already. Playing St. John's and DePaul, obviously they can beat anybody in the country. I mean, they both came into our place and could have won the games easily. So I think this year in the Big East is going to be probably the wildest race ever, because everyone's capable of getting beat at home. I mean, you look at Creighton last night, and you look at us and our two home games. It's going to be difficult to win any Big East game. So I think all of us coaches, to get a conference win, we're going to be psyched.
Gotcha. Thanks, Coach, very much.
You got it.
Jay, thanks. Thanks for the time, as always. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks a lot.
All right, John. Take care.
See ya. Thanks, everyone, for joining on us on our call. In 2 weeks, we're back with the same schedule and same phone numbers and passcodes. Thanks for joining us today.
That does conclude today's teleconference. We thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.